welcome to Hype episode 107. We are back from Comic-Con. Yay! We made it! I'm like clapping at myself, Woo. But whatever. my name is Selena, and I have with me today Pam and Kyle and Kristen. It is so nice to talk to you guys again. I'm very sad that we're not all in person. There's like silence. No one's sad that I'm not there.
Yeah, well, we were spoiled by being all together in one place. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We took it for granted, yeah. And now we're separated, scattered across the world.
I know.
Yep.
Very, very, very sad. Very tumultuous Comic-Con experience. Very, very, very fun. This show actually will be Comic-Con related as well, because we're going to be talking about all the trailers that dropped at Comic-Con. We have a 16-item long list of TV and movie trailers that dropped during the convention that obviously we haven't really had time to process until now, because we were all there. We were all doing press things. So, you know, by the time we left Comic-Con, none of us had actually even seen the Wonder Woman trailer. So we're like, it's all news to us, basically. So that's going to be a lot of fun, and we hope you guys enjoy that. So that does mean no How We Hype or TV Show of the Week, because it's literally just going to be trailer talk with hype. Hashtag show title. I'll think of something better. But before we go into the discussion, as always, we want to remind you of the contact information, because of course we want to hear from you. We want to hear what you thought about all the new trailers, and we want your feedback on the show and everything like that. So you can find us on Hypable, which is hypable.com. You can find us on Twitter at HypableHype. You can email us hype@hypable.com. And you can find us on Tumblr, which is hypepodcast.tumblr.com. We also have an Instagram, which is at HypableHype, where we have some Comic-Con stuff, and hopefully some more will go up as we discover it on our phones and things like that. I've already found some gems that I had completely forgotten about, so that's gonna be fun. Before we go into the trailer, though, I really want to know, because of course Kristen, as we talked about, wasn't on our Comic-Con special because it was madness on the final day. So I want to know, Kristen, what was your favorite thing at Comic-Con, and what was your like overall experience?
Let's see. Well, my favorite, like, surprise item, I think, would have been the Moana panel that I went to. Mm. It was a really small panel. It was upstairs in, like, one of the smaller rooms, and it was kind of hidden in the schedule, so I was just cruising through looking for stuff to do on Thursday and Friday, because I wasn't covering anything for Hypable on those days. And I think that one was on Friday, and I ended up going with Danya, and they showed us probably 6 minutes of footage from the movie. Yeah. And the 14-year-old girl that's voicing Moana showed up as the surprise guest, and she was just really, really sweet. And we found out that The Rock is going to be singing, and that Lin-Manuel Miranda wrote the song for him. And yeah, so it was kind of a crazy panel, and it was a lot of fun, and we didn't really expect it. You know, we weren't expecting to get much from it. We were just thinking it would be, you know, a little bit of footage here or there, and it, just them talking up the movie. But they ended up giving us a lot of stuff about like what it's going to be about and all of that. So I think that was my biggest surprise panel. I just didn't expect it to be as cool as it was. Mm-hmm. And then, let's see, just overall, I mean, it was a good con. I think they really, really overloaded Saturday. Like, everything was on Saturday, so I missed a lot of stuff that I normally go to. Like, usually Saturday nights, I would go sit in Hall H and watch, like, Arrow, Flash, Legends of Tomorrow, Supergirl. Like, they were all in the same room, and it was all in this giant block, so it was easy to get into Hall H on those nights. And this year, with them each having their own panel in Ballroom 20, it was, like, insane trying to get in there. So I missed out on all of them this year, and it kind of made me sad. So I'd say overall it was a good con. I had a lot of fun, but I wish that they would kind of spread things out a little better.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. It was very, I wanted to go to Moana, actually, but I had, like, some other stuff at that time. But it's true, it felt like, I haven't been before, obviously, but even though there were huge things, as we're going to talk about, there wasn't that, like, I don't know, the Star Wars factor, you know? There wasn't that, like, immense, like, thing. So, it's very interesting. I liked that it was more low-key. I mean, I didn't think it was low-key, but you guys all told me it was low-key, so...
Well, I read an article earlier today that somebody else on another site had written about how this year felt like a transition year, mm-hmm. and I totally agree. Like, you had a lot of properties that had things upcoming, but, like, even the Black Panther news, that's still a year, 2 years out? Yeah. Like, there's a lot of stuff that it felt like they were trying to get us hyped for things that are coming a year from now, or, you know, even more. So, yeah, it just kind of felt like a weird transition kind of year, and hopefully, you know, next year they'll have some really big movie panels and stuff like that. We'll see, but yeah, just kind
of
weird.
Yeah, but lots of cool TV stuff, obviously, some of what we're going to be talking about this week. So and I think I know I am, I think you are too, Kristen, and maybe a little bit more into that anyway. So it was a good year for us, but I think without further ado we should just head into the lineup. Obviously we're gonna start with the superhero stuff, you guys. Whatever. No, I'm just kidding. I think the first trailer we're going to start with is the one everyone is most collectively excited about. So take it away.
So, yeah. Wonder Woman.
Yay!
We get our very first trailer. I mean, we got our first little glimpse at her in Batman versus Superman. And she was, like, most people's favorite part of that movie, which is totally legit. It's the only opinion to have, really. But no, this trailer just shows her in all her glory. You see just how badass her fighting is going to be. You see a little bit of that Zack Snyder slow-mo, but it's not, like, egregious. It's so well used and well handled that it just makes her look like even more of a badass. And we got to meet Chris Pine's character, and you know, he kind of does feel like her sidekick. Like, she's the star of this. Yeah. And it just, that is, I think, what came through more than anything in this trailer is she is the star. And yeah, so I'm geeked. It looks really great. And I'm really, really excited for what DC has upcoming. It seems like they've made some incredible decisions for, like, Aquaman and Wonder Woman and all that.
Yeah, I agree.
I thought it was great. The fireworks at Disneyland are happening right now, so I apologize if while I talk.
It's Wonder Woman! Yay!
No, I thought it was really cool. A lot of these movie trailers, actually, if I look at the list, basically literally all of these movie trailers, except for Fantastic Beasts, I have no clue about. They just look really awesome. And Wonder Woman is no exception. Like, I watched the trailer, and it was just really cool. And I love, at the end, I love the secretary, because she's like, well, we would call that slavery in my world. And she's like, I like her. That was my favorite part.
That was my favorite part, too.
That was definitely good. I think that this is such a great teaser, like, because it gives you a good sense of what you're going into. If you know even a little bit about Wonder Woman, you can get excited about things like seeing the other Amazons and, you know, just how she kind of comes to be. I really love kind of like movies that are set in different time periods. That's why I'm a sucker for, like, the first Captain America movie. So I'm really excited for this one because it's set, you know, in, like, I think it's in World War One. So I always enjoy seeing things like that. And Gal Gadot is just, like, killing it. So, yeah, this is just, I think that everybody that saw this was just so excited for it. And it sucks that we have to wait so long, but it looks like it's going to be wonderful. So
wonderful.
Here's hoping. Yes. Wonderful Wonder Woman.
Yeah. Yeah. No, this was definitely my favorite trailer that debuted. I think it's so funny because I think all of the DC trailers really were, like, very sort of exactly what you expect them to be. And we're going to talk about this a little bit more of the next two as well. But I think with Wonder Woman, like, you know, I'm obviously hoping the movie reflects that, but I was never expecting it to be any less than epic because it's this great character and it's this great story. And I think at this point, any female-led superhero movie is going to get this kind of response because we're just not getting them and we're in such a, like, need of them, if that makes sense. So just even having a woman kicking ass on screen, it's like, yeah, you know, like you almost can't not get that reaction because we're so starved for it. But I do think it looks like a beautiful, you know, well done movie. It looks like it's going to treat her. It's actually, it's funny you said Captain America, Pam, because I think the parallels to Captain America, the First Avenger, are so obvious because of the two war settings, like World War One and World War Two, but the color schemes and stuff like that and are still the same. The uniforms are very similar, right, all right. That stuff. And it almost feels like an inversion of Captain America, because we've got a Wonder Woman sort of superhero, super strength character fighting in a war with soldiers. And then you've got the soldier, quote-unquote, sidekick, who, of course, was Peggy Carter in First Avenger and is now, what's-his-face? Is he called Steve, too?
Who?
The Chris Pine's character?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, right, so...
And you're right. I mean, like, I have said this before on the show. I am not familiar with comics, any comics, but I did grow up watching a lot of cartoons, and I always kind of felt like Wonder Woman was the just like the response, kind of like the female response to Captain America, mm-hmm. because like all superheroes fight for justice, but she just kind of like what she stands for and like the things that she has in her disposal. Like we saw the lasso of truth also in this trailer. I don't know how like they're going to revamp it, because I think it's like they probably have given it more powers than it used to have back when I was watching cartoons and things like that. But just kind of the things that she stands for are very similar to what Steve or Captain America stand for as well. So I wouldn't be surprised if like in the history, like she had been a response to that when they were, you know, when the characters are being created back in like the older days and stuff like that. But
right.
Overall, it looks like it's going to be really fun.
We also got the first look at the Justice League, which, you know, has kind of been this like outlying force that they keep saying it's going to happen. And we kept, you know, agreeing like, sure, yeah, there's going to be a Justice League movie. Sure. Well, we finally got a trailer. We got a look at it. We got to see Ezra Miller as Barry Allen, a.k.a. The Flash. We got to see Aquaman and all of his badassery.
was my favorite part.
that trailer, I mean... There's just you, Jason Momoa as Aquaman. He is the only human who could make Aquaman cool, and so he has done it. Like we haven't even seen him in a movie. Like we've seen these few moments of him and that one picture that's been rolling around forever, and everyone is already like excited and ready for his movie. It's insane. But yeah, I think the biggest like shock, the thing that was most important and really cool about this trailer was the Flash stuff, because there's been so much talk about, you know, you've got Grant Gustin on CW playing the Flash, and he does such a great job that how are we going to have a different movie incarnation of him, and how's that going to work? And I like that Ezra Miller looks like he's doing something very different. Like, it's still Barry-esque, but it's not the same energy that you get from Grant. And it's a fun trailer. It's just really, really fun. And we get a look at Cyborg and some of the others that, you know, Cyborg, I think he's supposed to get a solo movie, like, 2 or 3 years from now, but it'll be after Justice League, so that'll be fun. But yeah, it's a good trailer, and I'm definitely excited to see what comes of the Justice League, see if it has any success anywhere near comparable to the Avengers.
Was it weird for you seeing Barry Allen being portrayed in that trailer after, like,
it was weird for me.
It was weird for I know it's like just a character, and I know it can be played by like virtually anyone, but like just having the show being a constant thing right now that's still so hot and new and like awesome, and then watching a completely different type of portrayal is like, what is happening right now?
But you know what, though? I love that you brought that up, because I was worried about that myself. Like, I watched The Flash on the CW. I'm a huge fan of Grant Gustin's. I love what he's been able to do with the character. But I appreciate that Ezra Miller is not, like, a carbon copy of him, because it's much easier to differentiate. And I really like, so far, what we've seen of him, because I'm enjoying, like, kind of what I think he's going to play Barry as. And so it's like, it's completely different from Grant Gustin's version. And I think that that's really going to help this a lot, personally.
Yeah. I mean, Grant Gustin is, he's my Barry. Like, he's the Barry I feel most attached to, but I'm still very much looking forward to seeing what they do with Ezra Miller's version in the movies. Like, it's a totally different entity. It's how the DC, you know, universe kind of works. So I'm, you know, Ezra Miller's a great actor, and I love that Grant and Ezra are completely, like, supportive of each other. Like, they're not throwing barbs at each other. It's all just, I can't wait to see what he does, and Grant's doing a great job, and it's really, really nice to see them kind of supporting each other too.
It's so funny to me how DC is basically like, and this might just be the characters being similar and playing similar roles, but I'm basically seeing Civil War 2.0 here. Like, the Flash is being set up as the new Spider-Man, and Aquaman's being set up as the new Black Panther, and, like, you know, it's such a similar dynamic to me that I almost, like, when the Flash came in and did his little, like, quips, I was like, yeah, I've seen this before. Like, it was a weird feeling of, like, okay, but, you know, and it's not in any way to say he's not going to do a good job, because I'm sure he is, but when you have I feel like, in The Flash, the show, the fact that Barry Allen is the main character probably helps him a lot. And I really hope that in this movie, he's not just going to be the Peter Parker of Civil War, which I'm sure, like, most people would be fine with because they loved Peter Parker in Civil War. But I was just like, is he just there to make jokes? You know what I mean? Does it make sense? No?
Yeah, no, I think that you're right. And I think that makes sense. Like, that correlation makes sense because he is a lot younger than the rest of the crew. Mm-hmm. Like, not necessarily that Ezra Miller is young, but, like, the character that he's playing is obviously meant to be younger.
Yeah.
And you see that kind of similar, like, he just wants, like, to
be part of the,
like,
crew, and, you know.
Yeah. Like, he says, like, I just need some friends. Yeah. Or he's, like, very much like the Peter to Batman's Tony. So I could totally see where you're coming from with that.
Yeah. So that made me sort of a little bit less excited. That said, though, I think the movie looks fantastic. I thought Aquaman looked fantastic. I'm very into this. A lot more so than, I will say, the next one. So the third and final DC-related trailer that we have to talk about today is Suicide Squad, which debuted. I believe it's the final trailer. Also happens to be the first one I saw. So there you go. So the new Suicide Squad trailer features a lot of Will Smith's character, Deadshot. We see a lot of Margot Robbie, or, you know, as John Thrasher so astutely points out, her ass. and we see a little bit of the Joker. We see some of the squad being formed. And I will be very curious to know what you guys think of this, because it's a very, like, This is the wild card of the superhero movies. Like, no one knows if this is going to totally tank or just be, like, a Deadpool-style surprise of awesomeness. I'm kind of leaning towards the first one, only because, to me, it seems so reminiscent of Watchmen. If you remember Watchmen, like, it feels really? To me like this. Yeah, it feels like the tone, the attempts to be edginess that kind of get lost in being too edgy. I think
yeah. You may have been at a bit of a disservice seeing this as the first trailer, because this trailer is really mellow.
Right.
Like, the first two or three, however many there were, they were all really upbeat and showcased, like, the crazy of this group a lot better. This trailer is a lot more mellow. It's a little more story-driven. Like, they're trying to give you a few more hints as to exactly what's going to happen in this movie. Because, like, prior to this, it was all just, like, flash and show to kind of show you exactly, like, what these characters are and why they're badass and why they're the Suicide Squad. Like, why they're such bad guys and all of that sort of stuff. So maybe it just, you know, this trailer is just so different tonally from everything else they've given us promotion for this movie, that maybe that kind of hurt.
Could be. I don't know. I mean, to be honest, now that I think about it, I think I may have seen another trailer because they've played in front of movie theaters and stuff, or movies. I just haven't, like, sought them out, but I don't know. I might be totally wrong, but it's just something about, it feels like it's trying too hard, I think is what I'm trying to say. Like, I'm not very into it.
I'm excited.
That's
for
good.
It. I think I'm more excited for Suicide Squad than Justice League, for sure. I don't like Batman.
Okay. So,
but I love Jared Leto, and I think what we've seen from the glimpses that we've got from his portrayal of the Joker is amazing. Like, he looks like he has put as much care into crafting this Joker as Heath Ledger did. And I think he's just as committed to the role as Heath Ledger was, mm-hmm. for what it looks like from these advertisements. I mean, obviously you can't speak for the movie, but, and Harley Quinn is one of my favorite characters, ever since my like old roommate was really into her, and started telling me more about her story. And so seeing her in the trailers is just like, okay, she's really cool. Like, if I was like a badass like evil villain in an alternate universe, I would be Harley Quinn.
I mean, I think it has the potential to be really cool. I hope yeah. it doesn't trip over its own feet in its attempt to be over the top edgy and like crazy.
Okay.
You know, does that, I mean,
see,
I don't get well, over the top from it though, but that's just me. Like, I don't feel like they're trying too hard.
Okay.
I feel like they are giving the audience what they want in terms of characters and badassery, and I feel like it's not something that, for me, it doesn't seem like it's over the top. But I understand where you're coming from, for sure.
Yeah, my biggest concern with Suicide Squad is whether or not Jared Leto like goes over the top creepy. Like, the posters alone creep me out with the way his face is like giving us Joker. It's very creepy. And so I'm just hoping that he can kind of keep it from getting too weird. And as long as that is okay, then I think it'll be fine. Cause I think the actual Suicide Squad is going to be awesome. I'm just really nervous about putting a bad guy in this that's not really a part of the Suicide Squad for them to kind of be working against, and like how that dynamic's gonna work. Hmm. So it'll be interesting.
Yeah, it'll definitely be interesting. I'm so excited for Harley Quinn, especially because of Margot Robbie is so excited about Harley Quinn. A little bit disheartened by all the like we didn't get ass shots of any of the guy characters.
Maybe we'll get more in
maybe
the movie.
In the actual movie, but for yeah, now I think it just kind of, maybe that's what it is my entire like not anti-goodwill comes from like those shots, and I'm like, oh my god, not again, like it's 2016, we've seen asses before. So so I'm mixed on this one, willing to give it the benefit of the doubt, but we shall see.
Okay, so finally, let's switch over to DC. Or no, I did that earlier today. I was talking about comics, and I said the wrong thing. It's just not my day with comic books. Let's switch over to Marvel, where I'm super stoked for this Doctor Strange trailer they released at Comic-Con. I really love Benedict Cumberbatch, and I love mystical, like, magic type superheroes, and so Doctor Strange looks like it'll encompass like all of that for me, so I'm really stoked. Although my one concern is every single time they show like the buildings bending and and whatever, I only think of
Inception.
That one movie. Yeah, Inception, that's all I think about literally. So if I can get that out of my head when I'm watching the movie, I think I'll love it. Did you guys like it? No? Yes?
I feel like with Doctor Strange, because like so many people's whose opinions I value, especially on Hypeable, who have like are well versed in the comics, are so like uneasy about it. I feel like that's tainting my ability to really enjoy any news that's coming out of this. So yeah. It's just like, it's so hard, you know, and I don't want to be that person. But I think with Doctor Strange, it's going to have to be one of those things that I like wait to see to be excited about after. But like right now, just because of like, you know, like there's so many people that we respect on Hypeable that are well versed in the comics that have brought up some issues that are very like reasonable. And I think that that's just tainting my view on this altogether. And it's so sad because I love Benedict Cumberbatch. I love Rachel McAdams. I love Tilda Swinton. I love Chiwetel Ejiofor. So as a cast, like it's great. But every time I see something about this, I'm just like, I'll save that for later. you know, because it's not top priority for me.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I don't really know anything about Doctor Strange. Like, I know that he's being played by Benedict Cumberbatch, and it looks awesome. Like, you know, like the visuals of what they've got going on look like it could be really cool, but I don't know anything about it. So yeah, when I hear some of the more troublesome things going on behind the scenes and stuff like that, it makes me a little more nervous about it. So yeah, I'm kind of waiting to see the movie itself and before I completely like judge it, because I have no idea.
I'm so glad we started with Wonder Woman, which we were all excited about. it's true what Pam says. We have, you know, have some really, really interesting and educational opinion pieces about Doctor Strange up on Hypeable that you guys should definitely check out if you want some more sort of beyond just, oh my god, it looked amazing discourse. Then you should go and check that out, because it's definitely worth checking out. And both Suicide Squad and Doctor Strange come out this year, so we'll find out soon if these movies actually live up to our expectations. Because I think with both of them, I'm like, they could go either way. We'll have to wait and see. So it'll be interesting. And moving on now from superheroes
to magic. Yes. This is, well, I don't know if you guys are excited about this. I'm excited about this. I love how every time I unmute myself, my dog decides to like make noise. Like, damn it, Jasper. Anyway, he's just really excited about this too, you guys.
He's a fantastic beast.
He is a fantastic beast. So we got a new Fantastic Beast trailer at Comic-Con. Of course, this was one of the bigger panels in Hall H. We've got a great recap of what went on during the panel. If you're interested in that, they brought some magic to Comic-Con, which is, you know, kind of hard to do considering there's so much fantastical stuff going on. The new trailer is great. It really gives us like just like a lot of new footage, actually, which I know is troublesome to some people, because at any time you get like so much new footage, you kind of start to wonder, like, have I seen too much? Like, have they given too much away? But I still kind of think they're playing this pretty well. We do get a look at some of the new fantastical creatures that have escaped from Newt's a briefcase that we hadn't seen before. We also see some creatures that we're familiar with. Like, there's a shot of a house elf at one point who's like spinning some wool. So that's really interesting. I'm kind of wondering if we're going to be introduced to another memorable house elf, since we've had a couple in the past, you know, through Harry's journey. And then I think that it just ends with like the all encompassing feeling that we all kind of feel whenever we're introduced into, you know, anything that pulls us into Joe's magical world, which is, you know, what is it? Jacob says, like, I wish I had magic or something like that. God. So I thought that was a really nice, fun little thing to end on. But yeah, overall, I think I'm like still really excited about this. I know some people are like a little worried, but I'm still excited for this movie. So
this trailer was great, right? It was a good trailer. It was a solid trailer. I was watching it, like, we were all watching all the trailers before the show, and I was like, okay, pretty good. And then came that final shot with Jacob and Newt just sitting there smiling at something, and Jacob going like, I wish I had magic, or I want magic, or whatever he said. And I was just like, there it is. Like, there's the movie I want right there. And that was like, that sold me. I was like, okay, this might be amazing.
Right. And you know what's so funny? Like, even before I saw this trailer, because like we teased, like, we were so busy at Comic-Con, we didn't get a chance to watch like almost anything we weren't covering ourselves. I was watching like the live tweets come in on Hypeable for this panel. And Ezra Miller said something like, you know, on the subject of being cast, it's like I got my Hogwarts letter really, really late. And I was like, that's all I needed to hear. Like, I feel like this cast understands. It's fine. Yeah. I have a lot of feelings. That's basically like what happens anytime something like that happens. It's just like, oh, that's so nice. I love it. Because they get it.
Yeah, they do. They do get it. It's so cool. And of course, this trailer showed us a lot of Colin Farrell's character too. So it's fun to like see him in the Wizarding World a little bit more. But I still think, Dan Fogler, Jacob is going to be my standout character in this movie. Like, feel like he is going to be the best one, you know?
And he's like wonderful. If you guys want to see like something that Dan Fogler did in the past, like, and you've never seen Fanboys, it's great.
Oh my god, Fanboys is like, amazing.
Yeah, I'm gonna do the whole like, if you're a fan of pop culture, but no, really, like, if you're into pop culture, like nerdy stuff, like specifically Star Wars, Fanboys is great, and you should go watch that. And yes, he's great in it. He's hilarious.
Yes, that's true. I forgot he was in that movie. Oh my god. Wow. Yeah. Good movie. Great movie. Very sad, but very good. Okay, so anything else about Fantastic Beasts?
No, it's awesome.
Okay, guys.
Yeah.
Good, because we need to just talk. Awesome. We need to talk about the most important trailer of Comic-Con.
Oh, boy.
I am, of course, talking about King Arthur, Legend of the Sword by Guy Ritchie, starring Charlie Hunnam, hashtag not my Arthur. Have you all seen this masterpiece of a trailer?
I have.
I forgot it was a Guy Ritchie film until I saw this trailer. I was like, of course it's
this exciting. Trailer is the effing weirdest thing you will ever see in your life. I don't know how to feel.
It kind of felt like they were trying to turn Arthur into Rocky.
Yes, like, that's right.
With all of the, like, I'm on the street, like I'm pretty sure at one point they actually put the words.
The taglines were the best thing.
It's like from the streets to what to king, or I don't remember.
I'm just looking for it now. It was too good.
Yeah, yeah. It sort of felt like they were trying to like make this like a fighting, like a boxing kind of movie. But
you know what,
King Arthur.
It reminded me very much of A Knight's Tale.
Oh my god! Yeah, you're right. You're right.
Yeah, where, like, he literally is, like, basically, like, a street urchin, and he just happens to get roped into this whole thing.
Oh, here it is, here it is. Sword, like, raised on the streets. Oh, my God, and the font. Go on, fam, sorry.
No, that was it. There was a second part to that, wasn't it? It was, like, raised on the streets, and then there was something else.
Born to be king.
That's the one. Yeah.
You but, guys.
No, really. It was just like, it felt to me like A Knight's Tale.
See, I like A Knight's Tale. I'm not entirely sold on whether or not this will be a movie that I like.
But you know what? I'll go see it because I'm thirsty for Arthurian legend stuff, apparently. And I'm also kind of curious to see where they go with this. But I was not expecting that.
And I mean, Jude Law, just what the hell? Like, I had no idea. Half the, like, as I'm seeing people show up in this trailer, I'm like, wait, that's Jude Law. What's he do? Like, holy hell. Like, there's a lot of identifiable people in this movie that I'm like, really? It just surprised the hell out of me. I hadn't even heard about it. I had no idea this was a thing. And then I saw this trailer and I was like, what is happening?
Yeah, with every actor that I knew, I was like, wait, what? Wait, what? Really? Okay. I thought I was going to be watching some trailer for, like, some unknown thing with, like, a bunch of unknown actors, and it was just going to be, like, this, like, cute little trailer about, like, King Arthur, and then, like, magic happened, and then, evil stuff happened, and Jude Law was in it, and I was very confused. It looks cool.
Oh my god, this trailer, this looks so stupid. Guys, let's be real. Like, this looks...
It looks maybe fun.
No, it does not. See, this is where it comes in again. They're trying too hard. They don't. What is this movie? What's the genre? What's the plot? What's the deal? Like, I don't know. I don't like it. I'm sorry. I don't like it. I think it looks like stupid.
It looks like the Arthur version of the Snow White movie.
Yeah, it does. And I don't think that works. Yeah, and I'm totally fine with them trying something different with King Arthur, because if they're intent on telling the same story over and over again, it's nice to at least see them do something different. What strikes me about this is that it, like, the whole race on the streets thing, the sequences that they just made to look edgy, I'm like, I'm not a fan of edgy for the sake of edginess. And I think just, like, pulling this visual spin on it and trying to update it while still setting it, like, in this medieval time, but it's clearly not trying to be, like, in that time. It's trying to be modern. And I don't like it when movies do that. I'm just not a fan of it.
So are you not, just out of curiosity, are you not a fan of, like, Baz Luhrmann's Shakespeare? Because it kind of does, like, the opposite. Like, it pulls, like, the old language with, like, the new visuals.
I don't know if I've seen any of that.
It's the Leo DiCaprio.
Oh, no, you know what? I really wasn't that big of a fan of that either.
Okay, I was just wondering, just like maybe somebody like needs a touchstone like that, but that's interesting. I think that like if it's done right, I'm okay with it.
Yeah,
but I could. It just doesn't look like it's done right.
Like that's what I mean. Is that this trailer? No, it's only a trailer, right? But it feels to me like it's very messy, and it's very like either it's sure what it wants to be, and I don't like that, or it's not sure what it wants to be, and it's just kind of a. Like, whatever. And you know that David Beckham has a cameo in this movie, right? Like, that's the level of... And they're going to make, like, some football joke with him.
I only know this because you tweeted about it. I think I conveniently forgot. I'm going to wait to pass judgment on this. I'll probably go see it because the curiosity will kill me if I don't. But right now, the trailer is definitely interesting. That is the proper word for it.
Yeah. I'm totally judging it now. Well, I might be surprised when the movie comes out. I'm going to go see it. I was watching this trailer with like my hands over my face. Like, what is happening right now? And not in a good
way. It is a really long trailer too. So like, it kind of felt like it was rambling. Like it's like a 2.5 minute, 3 minute trailer. And so, yeah, it just felt very aimless. So hopefully further trailers will kind of cut that down and make it seem a little more put together.
Let's hope so.
Maybe.
Yes, let's hope so. I'm very curious to hear what the listeners have to say. I know we have a lot of Merlin fans listening to us, and I know that like people are very sort of protective of Arthurian legends and stuff, so I'm just really curious what kind of response this trailer will have, if you think it looks cool, if you think it looks weird. Katie McGraw is in this, by the way, speaking of Merlin. Maybe I should
hope she doesn't die
so
in the first like 10 minutes.
I hope that she's listening and wants to come on Hype Podcast.
Defend the movie. Because I just slammed it. God.
No, but also you bring up a good point that like it's not like we would just hate anything that's not BBC's Merlin, because there are so many adaptations of Arthur and Legend that I absolutely adore.
I really liked the one with Keira Knightley. Yeah, that one. Yeah, I really liked that one.
That was great. Yeah. I liked it too. She was a badass Gwen too, so that was great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So there. Anyway, that was my WTF trailer of the day. So.
Oh, well, my WTF trailer of the day is Nickelodeon themed. So at Comic-Con, they debuted the trailer for a TV movie based off the old show called Legends of the Hidden Temple. Anyone on this panel, have you ever watched Legends of the Hidden Temple as a kid?
Oh, I grew up on that, of course.
Okay.
Silver
Thank
snakes,
God.
Green monkeys. Yeah, let's do it.
Yes. Okay. I'm so happy. Okay. Because when I first heard about this, I was like, okay. And as I take a look at the trailer, I am so in love. And it's like one of those guilty pleasures that I know I'm going to like be like, so happy about. Because... I think it's honestly probably just the nostalgia. Like if I hadn't watched that as a kid, and like Selena, you're probably looking at this trailer and you're like, what the heck? And you're probably looking at them like building a monkey. Like, what are you
doing?
I'm
just like surprised it made it into hype because it looks like something my little cousins would watch.
Oh, but it's well because it was based off a kid's show in the 90s. And
so it's like nostalgia factor.
Yeah. And so like. And so, like, basically all of these things that these kids are doing and are, like, tasks that the teams had to do on the TV show. And the names of the teams are, like, Green Monkey and Silver Snakes. And so now they have, like, Silver Snakes and Green Monkeys. And it was just, like, I don't know. It was really awesome. And I am looking forward to it. I don't know if it's going to be any good, but the little kid in me is happy, you know?
That's awesome.
I will just be happy if they bring back the game show because of it. Like, the game show was awesome. And if the movie is popular at all, like, if it does well for Disney, or it does well for Nickelodeon, because it's supposed to be, like, a made-for-TV movie, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, like, if it does well for Nickelodeon, then maybe they'll bring my show back, because that show is awesome.
It was so good. And, like, they had the head at the convention center. And I took a picture with it, and it's my profile photo, and I love it.
Nice.
That's awesome. That's cute. And now for some sad news.
I was going to say, I can't really think of a transition, because this is just sad, sad, all kinds of sad. We found out at San Diego Comic-Con that the next season of Teen Wolf will be its last. We have 20 more episodes of Teen Wolf, and I believe they're going to be airing, like, pretty close together. Like, they're not going to draw it out, which is good news because we still have 20 episodes, but they will be the last ones. And we got a trailer for at least the first half of the season, the first 10 episodes. And it's crazy. We found out that there are these, I believe they call them the Great Hunt or the Hunt. They are these, like, ghost riders that are going to be riding through Beacon Hills. And the legend is that anyone who sees them gets taken, like, with them, and that they become forgotten. Like, not just people forget that they disappeared, they forget that they ever existed. And what the trailer gets across is that Stiles is clearly a victim of the hunt, of these ghost hunter guys. So it looks insane. It's going to be a crazy ride. They have to, like, they're going to be going through a lot of, like, trying to figure out how, what Stiles means to them while they try to, like, keep his memory alive, because they're clearly, like, looking for him during part of the season. We all know that Dylan O'Brien was not present for the entire filming process for the first half of the season, because it was scheduled that way with Maze Runner. So we knew he was going to be a big part of the season, but not necessarily there for the whole thing. So this kind of gives us a hint as to how his character's involved. So it looks like it's going to be a crazy ride. They have not written or filmed the last 10 episodes yet, but they have done the first 10. So we at least have an idea of what those are going to look like. And it just looks great. I think it's going to be a good way to wrap up the story with all of these characters that we all love. And I'm looking forward to it, as sad as it is.
It looks so good. Like, in the interest of watching every single trailer we're talking about today, I also watched them for all the TV shows that I don't watch. But I was so into Teen Wolf for a while, and then I just kind of fell out of it around the time when Allison departed the show, because I was like, oh, why? But this trailer, I love the, I don't want to call it a trope, but it kind of is, I guess, of erasing characters from memory. Like, I love that storytelling device. So, I mean, this looks great. It's very sad that it's the final season. Our friends over at Not Another Teen Wolf podcast are obviously very, very, very upset. And it's the worst when your show is coming to an end, especially so suddenly and unexpectedly. But this trailer definitely seems like the show is going to go out on a high note.
Definitely. Yeah, it's good fun. If you like Teen Wolf, check out the trailer, and hopefully it'll give you some sort of hope for the last season.
Absolutely.
All right, switching gears a little bit, but still sticking with TV news. We got a first trailer for Sherlock Series 4, which is kind of a big deal considering that everybody's been kind of wondering when we're going to get this. It's been quite a while since Season 3. Didn't give an exact date, but it did say right towards the end that we can expect it sometime in 2017. Hopefully that's towards the beginning of the year, as is the trend for this show. The trailer definitely is very, very dark, although I guess Sherlock trailers are usually dark, but it definitely gives that sense of foreboding. We kind of see Sherlock looking like he's going a little mad, which kind of ties into the Christmas special where they hinted that he might not be as mentally stable as, like, we always thought. We always knew he was a functioning sociopath, but I think to kind of see him unhinged is a little something different for the show, so that is probably going to be interesting. We got flashes of almost every character that we've come to know over the past three seasons, including Moriarty. Interestingly, also, it looks like Mrs. Hudson and Mycroft are not seeing eye to eye this time around. There was that scene right towards the end where she said, "Get out of my house, you reptile." So that was kind of like, oh, wonder what's going on here. But I want to hear what you guys thought. I don't know if anybody else is. I'm sure, like, a few of you at least are excited for this to return.
Oh, yeah. And the Mrs. Hudson thing is, like, my favorite part of the trailer, because it's a little bit different than the Mrs. Hudson we've seen before. Like, she's got, you know, she's always been a little bit spunky, but she's never gotten up in somebody's face quite like that. So, yeah, I'm a big Sherlock fan. I can't wait for season four. And this trailer was just one more way to get excited for it. So I'm game.
Awesome.
So American Gods just released a new like footage. They haven't really released like a full trailer, but they released the first look at Comic-Con. And American Gods, if you guys don't know, is the adaptation of Neil Gaiman's novel that is going to be premiering on Stars. I am so enthralled because I have no idea what it's about. I am literally so confused, but like everything that Natalie has told me, and Natalie like is a huge Neil Gaiman fan, and everything that she's told me about this, everything that I've heard on the internet, like it just seems like my cup of tea. And Kristen Chenoweth was announced at Comic-Con, which made me really, really happy. And she's playing Easter. So, like, she's playing, like God, the God Easter. So, like, she was explaining it to me, and it seemed really cool. Anyway, the first piece of footage was released, and it looks awesome. When we walked through the Comic-Con Convention Center, they had a booth for American Gods, and it didn't look all that cool, because when I was like, oh, maybe we should go in, but we can walk right past it and see straight inside, and it was just like a tree and some screens, and I was like, okay, well, like, it doesn't even look like they're playing the trailer there, so I'm not even gonna bother. But after seeing what the character goes through in the trailer, now I get it, and now it looks really cool. So none of you guys are American Gods fans, are you?
Yeah.
Oh, you really? I didn't know.
Yes. That. How would you know that if I haven't told you? But yeah, no, I read the book a while back. I love the book. I love Neil Gaiman. When we were at the Stars party, he was there. I didn't get to talk to him, but I love him. I think he's fantastic. And I think American Gods, it's a very long... Oh my God, there's a wild Pikachu just appeared. I'm sorry. Hold the phone. I'm totally not multitasking when I'm podcasting, guys. Hold on.
Well, I just want to catch it. Catching her Pikachu, I can say I am really excited to see Ricky Whittle.
Okay, go on.
He was so badass in that footage. And, like, I know nothing about American Gods. I have every intention of reading the book before it comes out. I just haven't quite gotten to it yet. But I didn't realize it was, like, a present-day kind of story. Like, I thought it was more, like, dystopian or, like, another, like, alternate universe kind of Earth or something. But it's very much, like, present-day. And so I'm like, okay, this is different than I thought. But Ricky Whittle looked awesome, and I love him.
I caught the Pikachu! Yay! I'm gonna take a picture. Okay, just so... Okay, yes. Sorry, American Gods. It does. Ricky Whittle obviously came over from The 100. We met him at the Stars party, and I was like, I love you so much, and being stupid. And this role is perfect for him. What struck me, I'll just... As the person who's read the book, I'll just say what struck me most about the trailer is that this looks exactly like you would imagine it would if you've read the book. Like, it's uncanny how true to the vision, at least that I got, but I imagine that lots of people got when they read the book, of these characters, how they look, how they behave, how they interact with one another, how they interact in this world. There's a shot of a tree at one point, and that gave me chills because I know what happens with that tree. And just seeing Ian McShane, who is another one that I love, seeing him as Mr. Wednesday and knowing who he is, what he is, knowing what Shadow goes through, seeing Laura Moon. We knew that this was going to be good from when they announced Brian Fuller, when they announced Ricky Whittle, all that stuff. But just seeing it, the first image, like, there is nothing not to like about it. You guys are going to love it. And I, in a way, like, I would almost say don't read the book because you want to be surprised, but I think it's worth reading the book and then getting the show experience. I am definitely, definitely just so stoked for this. This is one of the my favorite things from Comic-Con this year, honestly.
Yeah, I've actually read the book too.
Oh, you have?
A while back.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, I have a while back, but I do want to reread it. But you're right. I think that, like, it really just looks like an adaptation that's really going to please fans of the novel, which is always really nice. Because even down to, like, the dialogue was just like, I don't know. Everything about this is wonderful. And I'm so excited to see where they go with it. But I think that Stars is a great network for something like this, because I think they're going to be able to do it justice. So I think that that's what I'm excited for as well. But Yes. It's going to be good.
It looks
And the
so
footage
good.
Looks really great. I saw it right before we started recording, and I was like, yes. Is it 2017 yet?
Yeah. Yeah, I know. Oh, so good. So moving on to another TV trailer that actually looks very cool, which is FX's Legion, which of course stars Dan Stevens and Aubrey Plaza's in it, Rachel Keller, Jean Smart, just lots of cool people. And this this trailer gives us our introduction to David Haller, a troubled young man who is a mutant, but is also sort of diagnosed as a schizophrenic. We're set up this main conflict, which is that his life has kind of like been switched out with someone else's, which to me is just such another cool, like, quote-unquote trope that I love seeing explored. Dan Stevens is obviously from Downton Abbey, and he's going to be in Beauty and the Beast with Emma Watson. This looks like a great role for him. And I don't know if you guys had a chance to watch this. I think this looks really cool.
Yeah, Danya is actually a really big fan, and supposedly this is, like, it's very much set in, like, an X-Men kind of universe, and I guess this main character is, like, Professor X's son or something. I don't know, she was explaining it all to me, but it sounds really cool, and the trailer is great. And I don't know very much, but she was kind of explaining it all to us, and it sounds really intriguing and really cool, and I'm looking forward to it. I believe this one's on FX, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like that's a good network for something like this. Like, they're a little edgy, a little different, and it's not, it's like a superhero-ish kind of tale, but totally on a different scale in the X-Men universe. So, like, I think it's going to be a very interesting show once it gets an air date, because I don't think we know when it's coming up yet, but... just cool to kind of get a first glimpse at it, because they keep trying to talk about it, and it's hard to kind of put the ideas together that I've, like, read. So I think it looks interesting.
Agreed. It looks great. I don't know anything about it, so I can literally only judge from the trailer, but I think it looks fantastic.
Yeah, like, it's kooky and weird, yeah. And I love Aubrey Plaza, so...
Yeah, you know, me too.
Can't hate it. Well... Moving on, we did get our first look at The Flash Season 3, which we know is going to tell us the tale of Flashpoint, which is insane. If you watch this trailer, you will see that the events of the end of Flash Season 2 will have a huge effect on the world as we know it, and... I don't know. Like, I'm so, so worried about characters like Cisco and the Wests, because at the end of season 2, we, you know, spoiler alert, Barry goes back in time and saves his mother because he can't handle, like, his reality right now, which both of his parents had died. So he goes back in time to this, you know, this night that we keep seeing over and over again on the show, and he saves his mom, and it just... He changes everything, and it's going to be a crazy, crazy season. I don't know how long Flashpoint's going to stay, you know, as the reality. I don't know if this is our new reality for the show. Who knows if we're going to make it back to the universe we know and love. It's insane. But yeah, if you like The Flash, check out the trailer. It'll have you all kinds of excited.
You know who's a huge fan of The Flash is Joss Whedon. He loves The Flash and Supergirl.
Yeah?
Yeah. He was talking about that in his panel.
That makes me so happy.
I still have to write up that article about, like, he talked about his favorite shows and his favorite characters and stuff like that. And yeah, The Flash. He loves Cisco.
You know, that fits his MO,
It really
though.
Does.
Like, it's a superhero show, but they both have such a great sense of humor that it just, yeah, I can totally see why he'd love both of those. Mm-hmm. That's awesome.
Yeah.
This is actually the TV trailer I'm probably most excited for. We got a new trailer for season 7 of The Walking Dead, and anybody that has been keeping up with the show knows how ridiculously stressful last season's finale was, because basically somebody died, but we don't know who.
Oh, yeah.
And I was completely shocked that this trailer was as long as it was. because, you know, they're trying to save the big reveal until the show picks back up again. But they did a really great job with it. The first half is kind of going through everybody that's in that line as Negan's trying to eeny, meeny, miny, moe them and pick who he's going to kill, who's going to get the worst end of his bat, Lucille. And they did that thing where, like, they flash back to, like, all these memorable moments that all of these characters have, and it, like, really, like, made me more anxious. And then the second half of the trailer showed basically a bunch of characters that we're already familiar with that were not in that line. So we do see Carol, we see Morgan, we see some of the newer characters like Jesus, who was introduced last. At the tail end of last season, we see a little bit more of Negan's camp. And then we also get introduced to one of the bigger new characters for the season, which is Ezekiel, who is played by Kerry Payton and his tiger, Shiva. This is another one of the characters that's straight out of the comics. So people that have read the graphic novels are going to be super excited to see what they do with this character as the season progresses. But overall, wonderful trailer. The Walking Dead always knocks it out of the park at Comic-Con. Selena and Kyle can attest to the fact that I got very, very, very excited when we walked by this booth on the floor.
Yes.
And I cannot wait until October. I'm so excited.
Awesome. So awesome. And what else? So, oh, go on.
I'm not really into The Walking Dead because I have not watched a single episode. But I am into things that scare me, and American Horror Story scares, well, it doesn't really scare me, but I love it. season 6, we still have no idea what season 6 is about, even after they were at Comic-Con, and I went through the virtual reality, like, American Horror Story, like, experience, which was, like, not scary at all. And then today, actually, no, yeah, it was today. It was around today they released a video trailer about season 6. And that season 6 at Comic-Con, they released, like, the virtual reality thing, which had, like, teases, but it was, like, you know how you go through J.K. Rowling's website and you look for teases and you look for clues? That's about how hidden everything was. At the virtual reality trailer, but then with the trailer they released today, it was like actual shots of the theme. No one knows what it's about. They showed like a what are those things called? The baby that go above the crib. Y'all know what I'm talking about?
The carousels?
Like, yeah, you know,
like the mobile.
Okay. Yeah, the mobile.
Yeah, the mobile. Yeah. That's the one.
They had a mobile, like, filled with, like, sharp, horrible, dangerous things above a baby's crib. And they had, like, feet, like, running downstairs with hands trying to grab them and, like, a bunch of creepy stuff. So we still don't know what it's about, but we did get a release date, and it's going to be happening September 24th, I believe. September. So it was really cool. The teaser at Comic-Con wasn't all that, like, teaser-ish, because it was mostly every single season in the span of, like, 5 minutes. But the teaser they released today, in combination with that, was awesome.
Cool. Very exciting. Are you literally the only one watches it?
I think I'm
I was going to say, that is the only teaser in prep for all of this that I did not watch, because I cannot do American Horror Story. Just, I don't, no, well, scary. I
don't, yeah.
Yeah. but last, but certainly never least, we have the Luke Cage trailer. And I have to tell you, this was an amazing panel. It was just a lot of fun to see all of the Netflix shows. In addition to giving us a bunch of Luke Cage news and footage, they also, you know, let us see a little bit of, you know, remind us about Jessica Jones and Daredevil and all that. And it was just a really, really fun panel. We got our first Luke Cage trailer, and we found out that Luke Cage will be premiering on Netflix on September 30th. So, you know, get yourselves ready for all of that. But Chao Coker, who is the showrunner for this, just, he started off the panel with a bang when he said, "I think the world's ready for a bulletproof black man." And the room wow, exploded.
That's amazing.
And It was really cool. The trailer is amazing. There is a sequence where he is literally just walking down a hallway and is getting riddled with bullets, and it's not affecting him at all. you know, we got a chance to see some Luke Cage in Jessica Jones, so we kind of have a feel for the character, but to see who is going to populate this world and, like, learning a bit about some of the characters that are part of the Luke Cage universe, it was really, really interesting. I mean, I didn't really know a lot about it outside of Luke Cage, so to see some of the actors and actresses they have involved was really, really cool. There was one little bit that I thought was really cool. Like, Luke Cage is definitely a reluctant hero. He doesn't want all the attention that comes with being a superhero, and that's going to be a major part of the series. Like, he will kind of step out of the shadows at some point, but he doesn't necessarily want it. So that's one of his major struggles. So it looks really awesome, and Netflix has knocked it out of the park. So this will probably just be another one.
It's going to be so great. Like, I have yet to watch the rest of Jessica Jones. I don't know what the hell's wrong with me. I will do it eventually, but I loved Luke Cage. I think he's so cool. I'm so excited to see this.
Yeah. It's brilliant. Like, the trailer and what they showed us of the, like, a couple of random scenes from the first episode, I think, just looked great. Like, it's, the whole idea of it is really cool. I think he said something about every episode is named for a song off of one specific album. I can't remember the name of the album, but, like, the entire season plays like an album, like an album of music. Like, he wanted it to have an identity, yeah. And the show. Yeah, it's really cool. He's got a really great mind, and I'm really excited for it. It sounds really awesome.
Awesome. So for our final trailer, we're totally breaking form now. This has nothing to do with Comic-Con, although it is comedic, but it just broke yesterday, and I'm going to close my ears for a bit.
Selena, it's not going to spoil anything.
It's not? Okay, I'm going to say.
No, it's not. Okay. There's no spoilers.
So, oh,
no,
yeah.
No spoilers.
Relevant to our interests.
I just realized I have this story, because it's in my color. Great. You guys, we got the first trailer, the first official trailer for Gilmore Girls, the upcoming revival set to hit Netflix. We also have a release date, which is exciting, but also is giving us major anxiety because we're trying to plan the rest of our specials. Gilmore Girls is going to hit Netflix on November 25th at midnight Pacific Standard Time. So clear your schedules after Thanksgiving. Get ready to binge this. It's going to be amazing. The trailer is like everything you could ever want. It just kind of completely throws you back into this crazy, colorful world that Rory and Lorelai just take part in. It's just like, it's so perfect. It's basically just them sitting at their kitchen table having a cup of coffee, and they're just talking pop culture. It's like everything that they do in the regular series, and it was so amazing to see them talking like recent pop culture, because, you know, like the references that they make can be obscure in the original series, but mm-hmm. just like to hear them bring in like new people like Amy Schumer and John Oliver into the conversation was like, oh my god, we're doing this is really happening. So
was it a little bit like fan fiction?
Kind of, yeah. I mean, like, Lorelai's like, oh, do you think, like, Amy Schumer and I would be friends? And, like, the banter is there. Like, Amy Sherman Palladino, the showrunner, has not lost her touch. It's amazing. If you guys haven't seen this, what are you doing with your lives? Go watch it. We're so excited. It's beautiful. Yeah. But let's discuss.
I'm just so glad we have a date. Like,
yeah.
We now know. I know that's going to be pressure for you guys. I'm sorry. But I'm really excited to have a date, because now I know how long I have to get my rewatch done. Like, I'm going to start at the beginning and watch the whole thing. And I saw somebody said something like 173 days or something. I don't know. Somebody's got a day countdown already. And I'm like, that's it.
It's going to be amazing, because now I know exactly what I'm going to fill all my work time with when I'm at Apple and I have to watch TV. I'm just going to binge watch Gilmore Girls again. And I'm super stoked. Although, guys, I'm so upset that Netflix is like, no, we will not release them separately. We're releasing everything at the same exact time. And I'm like,
well, I mean, that is like true to Netflix.
Well, yeah, I mean, I get it. It makes sense that it's Netflix's thing. But like, just like the creator is upset, I'm upset, because it like, people aren't going to be able to control themselves, and they're going to just watch all of them at the same time. And I don't want that to like I want it to last. I want to be able to like
and to watch discuss it at my own each individual pace. Part too with
you know
people.
I want to like take my time with it, and I don't want to, and I know I can, and I know I have the option to like, well, you can still like watch it like one a month if you want to, and I know that, but if I do that, then I'm at risk for spoilers. Yeah. I'm going to see the last four words, which are apparently so crucial that they are spoilers.
Scar.
I know, right?
I'm calling it now.
Well, so, Kyle, I'm just going to say, if I can make it almost 50 days for Cursed Child, then I have faith in you. If you wanted to not be spoiled, you could do it. I believe in you.
Okay, yes.
Well, you did get spoiled for Cursed Child, didn't you, Pam?
I did, yeah. But in the last week. That's pretty
good. Cursed Child is a play that only minimum amount of people have been able to see, whereas this is something that is going to be gift on Twitter and on Tumblr.
That's very true. It's a global phenomenon.
You're going to have to deal with spoilers, but like still, like it would have made sense because, I don't know, maybe she wouldn't have written the last four words that way if they were all going to be released at the same time, and she wouldn't have made them such a crucial spoiler, but
I'm sure it's just going to be like, we're the Gilmore Girls, or like, let's have some coffee or something.
Yeah, they're probably going to just be like, oi with the poodles, and that's going to be it.
Right.
But I mean, like, it's funny that you mentioned that, Kyle, because I just, unless she had been planning like these episodes forever and ever before she even signed on with Netflix, I just don't understand how she would not realize that Netflix was going to release them all anyway. Like, I respect Amy's like thought process on this, and like obviously I respect yours, but I just like if you're signing a deal with Netflix, like you have to know that your show's not going to be the exception to their rule, you know?
Yeah, because then once Gilmore Girls does it, then all other series are going to be like, why don't you wait for ours?
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, I mean, like, obviously, like, but I mean, I feel like people run into this problem all the time. Like, I was the same thing with me with, like, Orange is the New Black, like, Kimmy Schmidt and stuff. It's like, if you don't watch them right away, you know, you can't contribute to the conversation, which is, like, the first thing. And then second thing is obviously, like, the spoilers. But I think that, you know, overall, it's going to be great. And also, like, I don't know how true this is, obviously, because, like, none of us, like, know really, like, any, like, major plot points or, like, where the show's going to leap off after these four episodes air. But there have been a couple cast members that have said, you know, like, I think that there's potential for more after this. So I guess we'll see.
So they don't, like, kill off everyone at the end. It's good to know.
Yeah, there's no zombie apocalypse that, like, kills everybody.
Gilmore Girls and zombies.
Dang it.
Stars Hollow does not blow up.
Yay.
Like, oh, God. Yeah. That's good news.
Is Sean Gunn in this?
Yes.
Oh, thank God, because I love him. He is my favorite.
Personal
by a million.
He's the best.
My God.
I mean, what would Stars Hollow be without Kirk?
I know.
Like, Kirk is, like, everyone. Kirk could literally play every character. Mm-hmm.
So, guys, by the way, I know this, like, doesn't have anything to do with the new trailer, but we're, as Pam said, we are rewatching all of Gilmore Girls for hype, and I'm the newbie, and we're on season 3 right now, and I just watched the episode, like, I think it's, like, the second to last of season 3 or something, when someone comes back into Jess's life, and they had that whole party episode, and everything with Lane,
oh,
and I'm like, oh my God! So much drama.
Yeah. I can't wait for you to keep watching. I can't wait to record our season 3
special. I'm so excited.
It's
like,
be magical.
Gilmore Girls is, like, such a good show, and I'm so enjoying it. But these past few episodes, like, more has happened than has... And Max Bettina is back, you guys! Like, oh my God, it's so exciting. So, yeah, I've had a blast with these past couple of episodes. I'm very excited.
Oh, Gilmore Girls.
Okay, no, the question is, when we do the Gilmore Girls Return special, are we going to do them one at a time, or are we going to discuss them all at once?
Good question.
The original plan was to do a special for each episode, but I think it depends on when
we should ask the listeners what they want. Because
what do you guys want?
It's one
Let
of
us know.
I know the Gilmore Girls specials is one of the things that we're getting the most feedback on. And I think, I mean, it also depends on, I guess, what happens in them. Because, like, if you took, like, the Arrested Development Return, it would be really difficult to do a special for each one. But, I mean, I guess not so much. But, you know, just, like, it depends how much. But I would be up for doing one for each. Because I feel like it's going to be worth it.
Yeah.
think if she was working so hard to get them released at different times, I imagine then they would be each easy to discuss one at a time.
Yeah.
Because and so I think we should do one for each. And logistically, we can record them all at the same time and then just release them different on different days or something for people who want to take their time with them. You know?
Yeah, we could totally do that. Yeah, so we'll do what Netflix didn't, and we'll release ours on separate days. So they're Netflix.
Right. It'll give you guys something to look forward to when you've binged through all of them, because we won't have.
It'll give you a binge mark.
A binge mark. I like it.
Yes, I think that's actually a solid idea. Listeners, forget it. We already decided. No, you can still get your opinions. I'm kidding. But yeah, no, I mean, very, very exciting. I'm super mad at Netflix because of their decision not to take Agent Carter because of quote-unquote financial reasons. And I'm over here with this ridiculous Full House reboot. And like, what are you people thinking? Like, whatever. I'm very mad at them. But this looks great. So, and speaking of the rewatch, we will try to get that season 3 one out very soon, because we know that it has been a while and we know that we're in a rush now, but we just had Comic-Con and there's too much going on. So.
And actually, it's funny you mention that, because we have a listener comment where I thought this was so cute. She said that she wanted to know when we were going to finish when we were going to release season 3's rewatch so she could start on season 4. Yeah, and I love that.
That was Laura.
I love that. Yeah, I thought that was so sweet.
Mm-hmm. So, yes.
Watching along with us.
Yeah. So, watch this space. So, I believe that's everything for the news. We do want to wrap up with some listener feedback, and we have quite a lot to get through. Thank you guys so much for being so active and giving us so much feedback. We love it. So, the first one we have is a comment from Hypeable.com, and we have two, actually. So, Kyle and Kristen, why don't you take those?
Okay, I will take Priscilla's comment. She says, I would listen to a one-woman show from Merrima. I would also love to listen to Hero Hype, but there haven't been any episodes lately. Love the show.
Oh, burn.
Aww. Well, I'm sure Merrima would love to have a one-woman show.
Well, she had her, like, she could have done it during Comic-Con. We were all excited
while
for
we were gone.
It.
Yeah.
We can still make her do it. I would love to hear that too, to be honest. Like a Samantha Bee of podcasting, I feel like Merrima would be really good at that. But you know what? I'm not sure Hero Hype is even still going on. I feel like that ended.
Well, they were doing quite a few, like, recap things with all the superhero shows, and since they've been done for the season, I think they've taken a bit of a break. I have no idea if it's actually done, but, I'm sure Caitlin and Danya needed a breather, because they were doing, like, 2 episodes a week to keep up with all the recaps and everything, yeah. So... we'll see.
That might be it. I know that, I mean, Danya is doing Resistance Radio, which is our Star Wars podcast, and Caitlin is doing Rewatchable with me and Kristen. So there's plenty of ways to listen to them, at least, even if not on Hero Hype.
Definitely.
And Merrima's here with us.
The second comment was from Igor Moreto, and he says, I met you guys because of Cursed Child, and I couldn't be more happy with the podcast. Now, about the Star Trek thing, isn't the universe of the new movies a different one? I'm not a big fan of Star Trek, but I got that from other people's conversations. They rebooted canon, basically, so the old guy who played Sulu's argument makes no sense.
This is the best comment you've had. Yeah.
Yes, I'm not a huge like Star Trek fan either, so I'm with you on that, but they did change time in the first movie. So yeah, it's kind of a new universe.
Yeah, basically everything is different. The characters are different. The relationship with Spock and Uhura is different. So you're right. The old guy's argument makes no sense. But I mean, in context.
Poor way. I know. Poor George Takei. That's the best. Igor, we love you. Thank you.
That's so funny.
I just laughed so hard.
Yeah. But no, I mean, we did discuss last episode that, I mean, his argument makes sense in the sense that he's very protective of the character and he had a vision and he has a lot of opinions that are totally his to have. But you're right. In the context of it being in a new universe, they are absolutely... I mean, this change is not a weird change at all. And we actually just found out that the kiss between John Cho and Doug Young, who played his husband and is also a writer, was cut from the movie. So we're all a little bit like, what, why? Like, it's very annoying because this is what always happens when they finally do include LGBT couples. It's like inferred rather than like they're not allowed to be a couple, like a heterosexual couple. So super annoying. Anyway, I'm sorry. I got off on a rant there. Yeah, and thank you for the comment. And thank you for the cursed child thing. At least someone liked our cursed child recap show. it wasn't to everyone's. By the time we record the next hype, Cursed Child will be out, you guys. Oh my god. Yeah. Maybe we'll need to do another special. Because you guys will want to talk about it. We'll see. We'll see what happens.
Yes. I really would want to hear what you guys think about it out of reading the book
A script special. That'll be fun. So our email is from Shalumiel De Los Santos. And Pam, why don't you get that one?
Sure. Shalumiel says, awesome hype. Hey, so I've been a long-time listener back when Andrew was still a thing. Oops.
But he's not a thing anymore.
Nope. Irrelevant.
He's so 2014.
But I believe this is the first time I'm writing in. I just want to thank every single one of the hosts for filling in the would have been a rather tedious moments of my daily life where I had to do chores or commute to somewhere. Thank you for not only delivering entertainment / fandom news, but also having conversations that are both important and relevant to a couple more 100 episodes. Cheers. Yay. Okay, I lied. I have quite a list to address. All right, let's go with it. I hate reading comments when I'm mentioned. This is ridiculous. Sorry. A, Pam, you're watching The Magicians. Are you done with season one? How do you like it? Not done with season one yet, but I love it. But Kyle has seen it. I'm 5 episodes in.
Okay.
Yeah, I unfortunately started right before Comic-Con, so I, left and then, okay. A2, Kyle, if Kyle is doing an interview, what does that mean? He's watching and or has read the books too?
Okay, yes. I have watched the entire series. I have not read, I've only read The Magicians. I haven't read the other ones. And I got spoiled because I asked for questions for Lev Grossman because I was interviewing him about the DVD release. And someone asked me a question about a spoiler that happens and if they're going to do it in the next season. And I'm like, no! So I'm still going to read the rest of the books. There are two more because it's a trilogy. So it's great. It's fantastic. And I can't wait for you to finish, Pam. Like, honestly, like, you have to text me because it's great.
Oh, I will. You're the only one I know that's watched, so this will be perfect. B, for Pam, that's me again, a.k.a. Music Maven. Again, I don't know if you've heard about Paper Lions, but if you have, can you suggest other artist bands that I can check out? Pause for a second. I'm not sure if I've heard of Paper Lions. let me do some Googling.
Oh, Paper Lions. I know them.
I know them too.
Yeah.
Hold on. Oh, I do. Yes. Well, do you have any recommendations? Because I could probably think of a few.
I mean, I started listening to them because of what is it called? The one that the Lumineers.
Little different, but yeah. For me, I get more of like a bit of a surf rock influence. Do you guys just surf rock?
Okay. Makes sense. Depends on the songs.
Yeah, exactly. Like they're interesting, but a great band. Okay, so let's see here. Okay, if you like that surf rock sound and you want something that's a little more like very, very heavy surf rock influence, I highly recommend the Explorers Club. They have really tight harmonies, just like Paper Lions does. And as soon as you hit play, you're really going to get hit with that Beach Boys vibe because they're very influenced by that. If you want something a little jazzier, highly recommend The Hush Sound and Gold Motel. I think both bands are either on hiatus or they've broken up, but the albums are really, really good, and I think you'll enjoy those. And then finally, for something that might be a little bit more along the lines of some of the Paper Lions tracks that you like, Jukebox the Ghost is another great alternative. They're also very, very good live. I'm not sure like where you're located in the world, but if you ever have a chance to see them, they're great. And that guy's voice is like one of the best voices I've ever heard. He's got like a Freddie Mercury type range, and they also kind of play a lot with the pianos and stuff like that in their music. So Happy listening, and let me know how you like those. Okay, we still have more because he wrote a lot. Let's see. See, Merima, you're the absolute best. She'll be happy to hear this, by the way. In general, not playing favorites right now. I'm still not over one particular scene from Game of Thrones finale. I'm sure you know what I mean. # growing strong. And then D, everyone, I'm perpetually grateful for your Hamilton special because that's what made me finally dive into the album. I never looked back since. Guess I will never be satisfied. And then I guess he attached some photos for us to take a look at. And then he wraps up with, or she, I'm not sure. Your deleted podcast scenes are always glorious. That's probably for you, Selena.
Yay.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Professional fanboy. Okay. It is a guy. Shalom Yael.
Yay. Thank you so much.
Yay. We got through it.
That was an awesome email. That was fantastic. Mm-hmm. Loved it.
And thank you for writing in.
Yes.
That's very nice.
Yes. Thank you for writing in and taking the time to say such nice things. It keeps us, it literally is fuel for us. It keeps us going to know that people actually, like, it's worth doing because you guys are listening to it. You know, we're not just like, you know, like blah, and then nothing happens. So thank you so much. We have a bunch of tweets to get through too, but I just want to shout out really quickly to Natalia H and Jess Bagtis and Maya Elizabeth. We asked what your favorite trailers were from Comic-Con, and you all said Justice League, and I believe you all said it was because of Ezra Miller. So there you go. Great minds think alike. So thanks for that. And Kyle and Kristen and Pam, if you guys just want to take one at a time, go down the list.
Okay. All right. So the lady Ash says, just remembered you did a Hamilton special. I only listened to the whole album a few weeks ago and I'm so excited to listen.
Woo.
Yes, yes, yes. Hamilton is great. It is fantastic. And the cast of Arrow sang Hamilton. So if you haven't seen that, you really need to go and watch that on Hype.
Laura Morrow, who we referenced earlier, also tweeted to say, I normally listen to you guys when I'm working out. I was laughing so hard during your funny stories, I almost fell down, but you made me laugh and pushed through my workout. I am going to New York Comic Con and hope to use your tips. Very cool. And stay safe on the treadmill, because that's dangerous.
Megan Carlisle says, guys, guess what? I finished Ready Player One today while on vacation. Aren't you proud? We're so proud, Megan. You can be in the Hype Club now. We won't have Yay. To kick you off the show.
It's Kyle again.
My mute button's not working. It's very frustrating. I'm sorry. Julie Gamache says, I know. Gamache, thank you very much. We're on the Gishwish team together,
yes,
and I can't say her last name. I know you've all been at Comic-Con, but you need to watch Stranger Things on Netflix when you get back. So good. Actually, ironically enough, I just started watching that and had to pause it to come record this. So I am. I just started the first episode. And have you guys seen any of it?
Not yet. Everyone's saying it's good.
Part of the first episode, yeah. I got back to work yesterday, and I had, like, four people tell me, have you watched Stranger Things? And I'm like, not yet. And they're like, oh, my God. So it's kind of exploding.
Yeah, it's awesome. So funny because, like, people know that, like, I write for an entertainment news site, and so they walk up to me, and they're like, have you seen Stranger Things? Have you seen Stranger Things? And I'm like, no, not yet. I feel like it's a duty of us to, like, watch it because it's so hot.
Yeah. And our final tweet comes from the Lady Ash again, and she says, I hope all of you at SDCC are having an amazing time. The pictures and posts from it so far have been great.
Yay!
The little thumbs up emoji. Yeah, thanks. We had a good time, I think, and I'm glad you liked the coverage.
Yes, we had a great time. Oh, no! Kyle almost caught a Pikachu.
It's not fair. I almost got a Pikachu and he ran away.
The Pikachu is attracted to the podcast. I think that's an interesting observation.
Yeah. Apparently, yeah.
Aw.
So let us know if you catch a Pikachu while listening to Hype.
Yeah. We'll see if it's a trend.
And if you do, you're welcome.
Oh my God, yes. I feel like this would be stupid. I almost want to do, like, a Pokemon Go special just because it's so hot.
Oh, my God. And then we can all compare, like, what we've caught that's, like,
yes.
the best. And then I'll cry because my catches will be, like, way worse than everybody else's.
And then we can talk about the one guy.
Yeah, because all I have are, like, Pidgeys and Caterpies in my backyard.
And Rattatas.
That's it.
That's so cool.
We can talk about the guy who's getting paid to catch the final three internationally.
Didn't like the some guy already won it in Brooklyn.
Yeah, no, yeah, he that guy caught all of the Pokemon in the U.S. and the Ramadan, or I don't know what hotel is flying him out to the U.K., Australia, and Japan to catch the final three.
Wow.
That's insane.
That's so weird. Yeah. Everyone in gyms around me are, like, so high up level. And every time I catch up to them, they're, like, way higher in level. I feel like that's a stupid thing, because if you didn't do the gym, like, the people dedicated to it are going to stay dominating it, you know? Because they're always going to be higher level than you, which annoys me. Anyway, this has been our Pokemon Go special. Thanks for tuning in. And next week we'll be back with episode 108, our Lost special. You guys, this is a missed opportunity if I ever saw one. No, it'll be a regular show. We'll get back to talking about the latest fandom news, and we will keep you updated on all the specials we have planned. As always, if you have anyone that you, or any special that you want to recommend to us, or anyone that you want us to try and see if we can swing an interview with, because we're trying to do that more, just let us know. Or if you have any general feedback about the stuff we talked about today, or in general about entertainment news, you can do that. You can tweet us at HypeableHype. You can email us hype@hypeable.com. You can find us on Tumblr, which is hypeablehype.tumblr.com. And you can find us on hypeable.com, which is hypable.com. And make sure you check out all the Comic-Con coverage that we've done. It's all on hypeable.com. All the interviews we did. So much cool stuff has come out of there, and we will probably be talking more about that in upcoming weeks. Until next time, I'm going to go edit this and play some Fallout. It's been a while. I'm very excited. My name is Selena.
My name is Pamela.
I'm Kyle.
And I'm Kristen.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Your dog is happy too. Like, yay!
Oh my, yeah. No, every time I unmute, he's just like, let's make noise.
Oh, it's so cute. Well, he thinks you're speaking to him, probably.
He wants the podcast too. He's like, well, guys, why don't I could talk about my favorite thing?
Look at his dog.
I like peanut butter and stuff. Yeah, basically. You know what? That's what we should do. I should do like Jasper's voice, and then Mike or Andrew can do Brooklyn's voice. Just have dog hype.
Yes,
that's amazing. That's hilarious.
Well, he already has an article that's almost ready, written up on Hypeable.
Oh my god, right? I know, it's crazy. It's so funny.